Amen.
Yeah, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Kind of just stay right where you are for a moment. So that song, Anything Can Happen Right Now. Mark, why don't you come up and just tell us what God is doing right now with your report. Did you have something too, Veronica? Okay, great.
I'm compelled by the Spirit to share good news, victorious news, praiseworthy news with all of you, because all of you have been a part of this for 2 years. It happened just over 2 years ago when I was first diagnosed with cancer. Went through an operation. There were a lot of ups and downs. Everybody said it was successful, but it wasn't totally successful. Cancer, it was there, but it came back. We tried everything we could from a natural level, but it finally came to the point where the decision was made to go ahead with radiation. This last Wednesday, I went into the radiologist for my first follow-up appointment. They had done the blood tests, and the first thing he said when he walked in the room was, "Have you seen your wonderful report?" And he looked at it and pointed out to me that the PSA level was 0.00. Now, science and technology and the doctors are obviously a huge part of that. But all of your prayers were a bigger part of that. Because there was a healing in my body. But the even greater healing was what God did through that whole process. You know, we all are familiar with the verse in Romans 8:28. That God causes all things to work together for our good because we love him and we are called according to his purpose. Through this whole process, through all 38 radiation treatments, 81 doses every time, it was as though God used a different spectrum of light in my life, unknown to the common man, but a spiritual spectrum to penetrate my heart and change me in such a way that not only am I free of cancer, but I'm free of every attack of the enemy that he will ever launch against me. Because God has brought me through this to the point where, through it all, I've really learned to trust in Jesus. I have really learned to trust in God, and I will depend upon his word.
That's right.
I want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers, because that has made all the difference in my life at every level. Praise God.
Thank you, Mark. Beautiful. Amen. Veronica?
I just want to come into agreement with what Jeff said, and this is the word the Lord laid on my heart. There is a new sound. Give ear. It is a new cadence. Hear the drum beat. It is the Father's heart now for a new day. The cadence sets the direction of the army. It sets the feet of the dancers to dance the dance of the redeemed in this hour. For this day, give ear, draw near, so that you can hear not just a sound, but the voice of the Lord. There was a word not long ago, and I don't even remember who it came through, but it was about the Lord calling us to dance the dance of, I probably won't say it right, the Maha Naim. And it's about the dance of the, it's about the two camps where the prayer was open the eyes of the servants so that he can see that there are more with us than against us. So it's where heaven and earth come together to fight the Lord's battle. And, you know, he has never lost a battle. He never will. He just does things in the fullness of time.
Amen.
So good. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, open up to John chapter 17, and I'm going to kick us off, and then Jennifer Pelletier is going to share, and then Josh Pallon is going to share, and I promise you, you will make your Father's Day lunch eventually, and then we're all going to get back up here with Pastor Mike, and we're just going to pray over you and impart a few things. And so thanks for joining us this morning. John chapter 17, I opened up with this verse, and I just want to come back and lay some foundation. I'm going to start in verse 22, and we are interrupting a prayer that Jesus is praying in the garden right before he's arrested, right before he's going to be falsely accused. He's going to be put on trial, sentenced, and then crucified. But our glorious faith in Jesus knows that he wasn't left in the grave, that he rose, he overcame death, he broke the stronghold, the strong man of sin and death, because he had no sin in him, therefore death could not hold him. But there's this verse here that is absolutely profound, and I just want to set a tone this morning as we continue to move on and before Jennifer and Josh come up and share. And so I'm going to start in verse 22. It's just verse 22 and verse 23. Jesus says, "The glory which you gave me, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them." The them is us. Jesus is the one talking. So when he's saying you, he's talking to his Father, Father God, our Father. It says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one." So we share in the same glory that Jesus shares in because the Father gave it to him. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, if you go and read through the Gospels, you see this constant theme that Jesus does. He points it all back to the Father. He gives the Father the glory. And if you were with us last week, Pastor Mike is going to pick up this next week and in the weeks of July. But he started in the book of Revelation, the first chapter of Revelation, the first eight verses of Revelation. Go and read it. Go and read the verses. Go and listen to last week's message. But this message is throughout the Bible, but we see it at certain places really amplified. And this is a place that God has amplified the nature of oneness. That Jesus Christ came and he made us one again with the Father. And he did it in such a manner that he gave his life. And he says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them." So you have received something from Jesus, and it's not just your salvation. It is the likeness of the glory that God the Father himself is. God doesn't just have glory, he is glory. Jesus didn't just possess glory. He was born and made and is glory. You and I were made for glory. And now as born again believers, we are in the glory. Now there are days when you look around or you look in the mirror and it doesn't look very glorious, right? There are days for you married couples when you look at your spouse and you wonder where the glory went. Come to 365 Marriage next Friday and we'll find it again. The reality is that in the moment, it might seem waning, it might seem absent, but in the spirit, it is always there. And what you and I have to do, especially in this posture that we take today about honoring, we're going to honor you men, we're going to honor families, we're going to honor the beauty of God's design of family, is realize that if you stay in the flesh and judge things according to just the flesh, you will feel alone. You will feel isolated. You will feel at odds. But the beautiful thing is, as a born-again believer, there's an actual another reality that you and I have. And that reality is in the Spirit. It's in Christ. And so we can stop and be reminded that, Lord, you have given me your glory. Let it shine forth. Let it break forth. Verse 23, it says, "I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me." Listen, when Kim is painting those scenes for the Cinderella thing, I don't know what she's praying. I'm not there. We could get her testimony sometime. But the truth is that she is there as a born-again believer, using her gift mix, using her talents, using her desires to give God the glory in such a manner that the glory which she possesses is now bringing an opportunity for others to encounter him because she's choosing to go after him, not just in song, not just on Sunday, but with her whole being. Listen, when we separate the worship ministry from the church in this moment, it's not saying to any of you that you don't have a song to sing, or that you can't end up on that stage, or that there isn't a call on your life. We're simply identifying where we're at today. And if you desire to move in the Spirit and you feel like God's got a call on your life to sing out, the stage shouldn't be the destination. You will limit what God can do in your life if you think, I just need to get up on that stage. I just need to have that microphone in my hand. Listen, if you want to have a following, create a following. If you want to have a name for yourself, start putting your name out there. But if it's outside the will of God, I guarantee you nobody will follow you for very long. If it's not anointed by the Lord, you can make your name as bright and as big, but nobody's going to care. But if you will humble yourself and recognize that it's the Lord who glorifies, it's the Lord's glory that's been put in you, it is the Lord that has made the unity of the saints and the body of Christ to be what it is, then all of a sudden our name, our gift, our talents, our resources will reach into places that we never even imagined. And the world will know it. The world will know that he, Jesus, was sent by the Father, that the Father loved him because he reiterated it. And the last little piece here is, even as you have loved me. Listen, the Father's love for us is just like the Father's love for Jesus. See, some of us, and we said this a few weeks ago, some of us dismiss ourselves. Some of us disqualify ourselves. We read words on the screen that says, oh Lord, you love me, you must mean everybody but me. And we twist the words. We don't read them for what they're actually saying. Because it couldn't be possible. There's no place to receive it. We haven't cultivated an attitude or a mindset or a belief or faith that allows, I was made for joy. I delight the Father. The Father delights in me. I move heaven on earth. That the glory of the Lord that Jesus experienced when he was raised from the dead and now gets to experience without end by being seated at the right hand of the Father, I have been brought into that oneness. I have been brought into that relationship. And not just Pastor Jeff has, or Pastor Mike has, or Jennifer Pelletier has, or the worship leader has, but you have. You and I have. Brothers and sisters standing together in the glory. Amen? So my encouragement for you this morning, as we move on here and you begin to hear different perspectives about the Father's heart and the Father's love and the nature of fathers and the need for fathers and men, is that you would recognize your value and your worth can't be measured according to human standards. Meaning you can't measure your worth by how well your father fathered you or didn't father you. You can't measure your worth by how much money you make from week to week, month to month. You can't measure your worth by the words that people gave to you in affirmation or in discouragement or cursing. You have to measure yourself according to the Word of God. We have to change the metrics or the standards or the rulers in our life that would hold us down, limit us, deceive us from the truth, and get back to, Lord, what does your word say about me? What does your word say to my gender? What does your word say to my call? What does your word say to my gift mix? What does your word say to me as a son or as a daughter? What does your word say? That is the standard that I'm going to live by. Amen? Amen. Buckle up. Come on, Jennifer. Would you welcome Jennifer Pelletier this morning? We're just all sharing a little piece of the message this morning.
Well, good morning. I'm so excited that we're sharing this Father's Day together. And if just a little bit of history, today actually marks the 50th anniversary that Father's Day has become a national holiday in the United States. So welcome and celebrate the 50th anniversary. So it's pretty exciting. In honor of Father's Day, are you okay if I tell some dad jokes? I thought I'd just share a few of them. My grandpa would, he always wore shirts with a pocket right here, and he had a little spiral notebook, and he'd whip them out. So when you'd go visit grandpa, he'd always have a couple jokes to share. So in honor of dad jokes, I just have a few I thought I'd share with you. Why did the golfer bring two pairs of pants? I started out with an easy one. In case he got a hole in one. Okay, why do the seagulls fly over the sea? Well, if they flew over the bay, they would be... Yeah, you guys are amazing. Okay, this one I kind of personally like. What vegetable is cool, but not that cool? Radish. Okay, why did the football coach go to the bank? Why did the football coach go to the bank? To get his quarter back? Okay, I have two more. Did you hear about the claustrophobic astronaut? He just wanted a bit more space. Okay, and the last one, dad jokes out there. What do you call a pencil with two erasers? Pointless. All right, awesome. Well, thank you for joining me on those dad jokes. About 14 years ago, I listened to a message. And the thing about this, I think I actually heard the statistics of all the messages you've heard, which for some of us is actually in the thousands. You actually remember about 10, like the number on your fingers. You can remember. And I remember this one. I was sitting there listening to this gentleman, and he had actually been mentored by Dutch Sheets, which some of you will know and some of you won't. But he had made this statement, and it has stuck with me ever since. And he said, it was a very bold statement. He said, all the world's problems could be solved if there was a father in each home. And the idea of a father as a kingdom father, and I've looked through scripture about the qualifications of a father, and it's someone who has a relationship with Jesus and follows in the direction of Jesus. And so a father is someone is, I have a relationship with Jesus, and this is the direction Jesus is going, so let's go. Let's go. And that is that's the definition of a kingdom father. And I thought, you know, that's really profound. And so with that, I wanted to share with you some statistics that are actually quite shocking. And before I get started, this one actually just popped up 2 days ago when I was looking at it. 18.5 million. So let me just say that again. 18.5 million children grow up without fathers. United States now owns the title of the world's leader in fatherlessness. So United States has now owns the title of the world's leader in fatherlessness. We live in the most fatherless generation in American history. And I just want to point out, we are actually living in a crisis of fatherlessness. So these are some of the statistics that you can go on any government website and you can find. 51% of all babies born in America are out of wedlock. 90% of all homeless and runaway children grew up without a father. 70% of youth in state institutions are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from homes without fathers. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 85% of all rapists motivated by displaced anger are from fatherless homes. 85% of youths in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from homes without a father. I just wanted to point this out. It is shocking, and I think it's as a family, we need to say, you know what, okay, we see this, and this is not even all the statistics of like, you know, this is enough, this is enough. I mean, it keeps going on about the issues that sons and daughters face without a father in the home. But the beautiful thing about this, when we see this, we know, because we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of the perfect Father, that he has given us the solution and the answer to it. And that is what I wanted to go after today, that to build strong families, we build strong fathers. And I actually love the shirt that Josh will wear sometimes to church, and it says, revival looks like family. Revival looks like family. And I know that we have gone after some Sundays of really looking at each other and say, you know, we're family, we're family. And I just want to propose to you, I think there was, we spent a season about giving prophetic words about make sure where you're aligned. You're aligned. Where are you aligned? Where are you aligned? And I've probably prayed that and probably prophesied that, okay, where we need to be aligned? Where we need to be aligned? But can I just throw this out to you? Could we possibly be in a different season, a new season with the Lord, that it's not, yes, alignment is very important, but is the season we're actually in is about joining. And so joining has everything to do about the heart, where I can come into alignment with someone and say, you know what, we have similar beliefs, but when I choose to come and join, it has everything to do about my heart. And it's saying, I will choose to join with your heart, and I give you permission to join with my heart. I've never shared this story with Mike, but I'm just going to share it. When we chose, and this isn't about joining Echo Hills. I don't miss what I'm trying to share here. When we merged as Hope Chapel and Valley Christian, the Lord apprehended my heart. And he really goes, hey, Jennifer, are you going to be all in on this? And at the point of that, I didn't really know what it meant. But as I made a commitment that, you know what, he goes, Jennifer, have everything to do about relationships and about joining hearts. It will be about, and it scares me because it's vulnerability, it's trust, has all those scary words. And but I chose to join. I chose to join hearts, to be connected. And about a year ago, I was going through a lot of turmoil. A lot of just things going on, decisions being made. And because I chose to join, you get the benefit and the blessing of family members. And I remember I came in one Sunday and I sat down and I was just like, oh my, and I was just everything I was feeling. Mike got up and he didn't even give a message. He was giving announcements and doing offering. That's what he did. But the release of the sound of his voice, because of the mantle that this man carries, and he's very much a shepherd. And I had never really been under a shepherd. I've been to a lot of diversity in my life, but I've never sat under, been connected with a shepherd. Completely different mantle. And it's like he spoke, and because I chose to join hearts, just by him giving announcements, it was amazing. It was this peace that came over me that I just knew, Jennifer, it's all going to be okay. It's just all going to be okay. And so I've only shared that story with one other couple that has asked me about it. And I go, there's something powerful when you choose to join hearts. Not under alignment of beliefs, as it is important, but how profound it is when we choose to do hearts. So the message that I have this morning is all about hearts. And I'm really after going after fathers. And it's men. It's not an age thing. It's not an age thing, and it does not even have to do anything about having biological children. It's about you men, the call and the mandate and the assignment on your life. And I'm just here to rally you and to champion you as the rest of the family. Like, we are in desperate need of fathers who walk and choose to step into fatherhood. The scripture verse out of Malachi 4:6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Some scripture verses, instead of it says turn, it talks about restore. And I thought about this. The enemy is such, he's be so sneaky. And he knew that if he could destroy the identity of fathers, he could crumble and destroy the foundation of family. And as we see, we are living the most fatherless generation in United States history. And those are just some of those statistics of what it's like for sons and daughters to live without that influence. It's very different. And I know I love moms. I'm a mom. I love them. But there's something very particular and specific about what fathers carry. And so as I look at all these statistics, I could feel it like, hey, are you guys sensing it? Are you feeling it? Are you seeing it? That we're actually on the cusp of the greatest revival and restoration and reformation of family. Of family. Of the turning of the hearts. But it starts with fathers. It starts with fathers in your heart. The other scripture verse that kept coming to mind was the prodigal son. And we love to talk about the ones that, you know, the kids who've been living wayward, and they come home and we throw a big party. And I thought about that as I was preparing for this, and I started with the Lord. I'm like, what if that another layer of that scripture verse is actually about you men that are called and a mandate for fatherhood, that you men are the ones like have such a heart of intercession. Okay, they're coming home. They're coming home. I see them. They're going to be restored. They're going to be healed, and they're going to be delivered. I see them. I see them. And it's you men with your arms open wide, like, you know what? How long are your arms? How long can your arms go? Yep, that one. Yep, that one is going to join. That one's going to join. And your heart is like, yes, welcome home. And I could just, you know, my imagination was just going, and I could just see sons and daughters, and it's regardless of age. Some of you will father others that are older. Some of you will father others that are younger. It's not an age thing. It's those who can carry, can I lead them to Jesus? Can I show them this is the directions Jesus is going? And I take them like, you're not going to walk alone. You're not going to walk alone. And I can see some of you will be like hand in hand. Some of you will just have your arm around someone else. And some of you will just like, you know what, keep coming. You just encourage them. Yep, this is the way. This is the way to Jesus. This is the way. And I could see some of them that come through this door where they have said, I've never known a father. And I don't know if Grady's still here. He shared a couple of Sundays ago. One of the draws back here was he was looking for a father. And I thought, oh, he's just one in millions here in the United States. He just represents one of the millions. And I thought, what would it look like if next Sunday, like we had, I was thinking really small, I know. But like 20 new people come in and their whole heart is like, there's just this ache in my heart. There's just this ache. And I'm trying to figure out where this ache could be filled. And we're like, oh, you're here. And we declare over you, you will no longer be fatherless. You will no longer be fatherless because there's fathers in this house who will father you. And then I could see them say their declaration, their banner back would say, I found my forever home. I found my forever home. And my forever home is this family. It's this family. I'm not saying Echo Hills. I'm just saying the larger church family. This is my family. This is my family. Josh, I know I'm dropping the ball right here, and I want to pray. But Josh is going to continue in on as we call a mandate to fatherhood, and he has a mandate for families.
That's awesome. Thanks. Yeah, bless her. That's awesome. You know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but Jennifer, you sort of pulled it out of me. You know, what's interesting about dads is that, so first and foremost, let me just do this. Raise your hand if you're in education just raise your hand if you've been involved in education. Okay. Awesome. Good. Okay. Raise your hand if you've been, we know pastors here and all that, but people who are involved in sort of making things even for people. So you've been put in a responsibility or in a place in your life where you're making decisions, and the goal of your work is to make things even and fair for other people. We have counselors that are in the room. We have lawyers, and yes, we've got, so this, I'm just talking about, this is the function of the job. Listen, we're all in this place, but can I tell you something unique about a father? Let me just do another thing really quick. I got to do this. So how many of you have like an interesting brother or sister? Like they're interesting. You're like, wow, they're interesting. Okay. How many of you are that interesting brother or sister? No, I'm just kidding. listen, here's what's cool about a father. Just stop for a second and think about this. A dad's job is not just to make things even. My two sons are very different people. They're very different. And it requires something from me, a greater capacity to be able to father something in my kids. And it doesn't look the same. They have the same parents, yet somehow they turned out different. It's wild. I know. And so there's something about that. Fathers, when you are under a father, what it does is it makes room for who you are to come to fruition. In all of these other, I asked you, what, you know, are you involved in a position where you are making, trying to make things as even as possible for people? Fathers don't do that. They can't. Now listen, are we trying to, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying I give 3/4 of a peanut butter sandwich to one kid and 1/4 to the other. What I'm saying is you are making room for each one of your children to come in and to step into who they are in a unique way. And there's something about the role of father that actually pulls people into the place where it's healthy and whole to walk in the glory of God and how he set that uniquely in your life. There is a gift that comes from being fathered. So I needed to say that because this is sort of the heartbeat. The Lord's really been pulling. I've been on an adventure probably since like October this last year. I got, I won't share the whole story, but I went to Portland to take my kids to a basketball game. The whole family, we went. It was awesome. Went to go watch the Lakers. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm sorry for any of you that are not. But we went to go watch them beat the Portland Trailblazers, and it didn't happen. And so anyway, with that, I ended up going to a church service and getting called out and prophesied over. And it wasn't something I was expecting. In fact, I would even say it's not really something that I desired. But I've been on this sort of crazy race this last year of just discovering what God is doing in my heart, having to do with the Father. And this week, this particular week, the Lord's really been pulling on that particular string. Some of it I can't go into because I haven't even shared details with Mike and Jeff yet, so I'll save those for now and share them later. But I have to share something. I got a message from my dad this week, and he didn't know that this is sort of where the Lord has had me in the area of pulling my father heart for my children and for the children in this valley and for the youth in this valley and what God is doing here and how he's depositing a hope and a vision in their lives instead of like, I just have to get out of Lewiston. I hate this place. There's nothing for me. I have to go to a different city. There's just nothing here. Until, I won't go into more details. So I'm just going to leave that where it is. But my dad shared this message with me. It's a few more stats, a little bit like what Jennifer had. But this comes from a snippet from Morgan Snyder's book called Becoming a King. Years ago, I came across a very revealing story recounted by Gordon Delby. He told of a nun who worked in a man's prison. One year, she brought some Mother's Day cards to distribute to any prisoners who were interested in sending cards to their moms. Word spread and requests for cards began pouring in. The demand was so great that she had to reach out to Hallmark to see if they'd be willing to donate extra boxes of cards. The first year, the warden drew numbers for a lottery to determine which inmates would receive the limited number of Mother's Day cards. With Father's Day quickly approaching, the nun got to work and secured sufficient boxes of Father's Day cards, and the warden announced a free giveaway for all those who were interested in sending Father's Day cards. Not a single prisoner asked for one. What are we to make of this story? What has happened to the God-intended bond between fathers and their children? Of U.S. students, grades 1 through 12, 17.7 million, or 39%, live in homes absent of their biological fathers. According to 72.2% of the U.S. population, fatherless is the most significant family or social problem facing families here in America. To identify the root of fatherlessness in our soul, it is to begin to recover a path leading to restoration and the greatest treasure we could ever receive. So my dad doesn't know that that's where I'm at. He was just blessing me on Father's Day and just telling me that he, you know, I just wanted to share this with you. I was thinking of you. I was like, oh, thanks, Dad. And it got my heart just sort of swirling, because this is sort of putting words to just emotions I'm having. I'm trying to figure out, like, ah, my heart is being squirrely. Have anybody ever had that before? Your heart's just sort of, it's just, and the Lord's just doing something. You know, he's sort of scratching the surface and trying to get underneath your sort of smooth, safe, you know, placid, protected. I don't know. It's just safety, right? You're like, I just go to work every day. I eat meals at this time. I do these things. And the Lord's like, I want to go underneath. And you're like, okay. So that comes, and I just felt this verse really stood out to me. It was about the spirit of adoption. And can I just prepare you real quick? I'm going to read this in just a minute from Romans 8, 15 through 17. But I just want to talk about this topic of the spirit of adoption. It's something that Jesus has introduced us to. And I remember being moved by this one particular story, a pastor by the name of Chris Vallotton. And he shared, so he gave his life to Jesus about the time of the Jesus people, like in that sort of early 70s period of time. And I heard him share a story that I've recounted many times, because I was so moved by this. But he was searching for the Lord. He ended up going to a gathering that was at a house. And as he went there, he couldn't get in because it was so full, and he could hear the words that were coming out of a window. So whoever was preaching or sharing the word, he could just hear coming out of the window. And he said as soon as he was there, he realized that that was the Spirit that had been speaking to him, and he knew that he was compelled in that moment to give his life to the Lord. So they get to the end of whatever was going to happen, and he makes a contact with one of the leaders that are there in the home. And so they did the whole thing where he and Kathy Vallotton, they prayed to receive Jesus together and commit their lives to the Lord. And in that moment, the guy looked at him and he goes, cool, now you need a father. And Chris is like, fatherless. This guy, if you know anything about his story, he's fatherless. He has no dad. Things had happened in his life. And so for him, he didn't realize that, like, this was going to happen. And so he, in his hilarious, funny way, he's a really funny guy, he gets to actually choose between two guys. And, of course, he said he took the more handsome one. And but this guy ends up walking with him throughout his lifetime and became a spiritual father to him. This is spiritual adoption. I also have some friends here that I've actually seen. I love that story, but I really like when I get to put my eyes on people that I see that carry this so well. I have two friends, and I just want to tell you, you know, Scott and Karen, I love you. I'll share this with you so that you can see it. But Scott and Karen Reinbold, who are good friends of Scott Trotter's, and they carry this spirit of adoption so well. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like gravity. And when they walk into a place and there's someone that's new, that person just sucks to them. I don't know how it's possible, but they're like, you know, it's like incredible. And they've got this gift to be able to connect with people. And they're, can I just say, they're like, both of them are super fun, very well-spoken individuals, but God is doing something in their life. He's doing this, and he draws people. And so they've got these incredible testimonies about connecting with these. One of them is a runner from, I can't remember what country. I want to say somewhere in Africa, but he's an incredible runner. And we're talking like someone who runs professionally, right? He's awesome. And so they have just, through their life story, they just bump into these incredible people and they suck them in. They do it with neighbors. They do it with people that are walking on the sidewalk. They do it with anybody. It's wild. And they're not doing it on purpose. It's God doing this through them. It's amazing. I love how this is possible. This is the spirit of adoption. Let me read this to you. This comes from Romans 8, 15 through 17. I don't know if you guys were able to get that, but. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Fathers are really important. We have been given just a unique ability. I'm speaking directly to men. We have been given a unique ability to speak into the lives of people, both male and female. And just dovetailing off of what Jennifer said, we are in the middle of the most fatherless generation in American history that we've ever seen. What does this mean? The spirit of adoption is required. It means that if they don't have a dad for themselves, that God is going to call us in some unique way to step into a reality that we may not be initially comfortable with, but just realizing that God is beginning to actually expand my influence, that I may lend my father's heart to share with others and make a way for them. I don't know how he does this. He just does. We're just going to pray this morning. Again, I think we've been somewhere the last, the last several weeks where we're not just proclaiming words to you. We're not just trying to give you information so that you can become full. We actually want to commission you to go and to take what you've heard, and we want to activate you into this reality. I know I've prayed many times for fathers and for mothers, in this body. Let me just say this last part. Jennifer said this already. We are probably in the greatest season that we're stepping into, transitioning into for revival that we've ever seen before. And the spirit of adoption and fathers and mothers are required to move forward. We've got to carry that. And you're enough. Can I just say that again? You're enough. You're like, I'm just not qualified. No, no, no. You're enough. God is going to do something supernatural in your heart. You give him water and he changes it to wine. I don't know how it's possible, but that's what God does. So if there's any sort of like disbelief or like, oh, I don't know, like I'm telling you, you're in the game. You're like, no, I'm on the sideline. No, you're in the game. I need you in now because God's going to activate something in you to keep going. Even when you don't know if you have what it takes, you do. You were born for such a time as this. Okay, we're going to make some messes this morning. Mike, Jeff, Jennifer, if you want to come up real quick. We're just going to pray and activate this over you this morning. I know some of us were just sharing these messages just so we could get to the point to where we prayed for you and activated you. So I think with that, Jennifer, if you want to lead off.
Yeah. So actually, if you're a man, so I'm actually going to pray over the men first. So if you are a male, regardless of age, we're going to start with the men first. So if you guys, men, could come right here. Right. Yeah, men are going to step right up here. If you're a male, regardless of age, all the males, I'm going to pray over you. The call of fatherhood is so incredible. It is so amazing. The call of fatherhood, the mantle of fatherhood is so incredible. And I think for some of you, there has been a longing and an ache in your heart because you know you've been made for something more. And you've always wondered, what is it? What is it? What is it? Can I tell you, I'm just going to prophesy this. When you step into the fullness of your identity in fatherhood, you will come alive in a way that you've never come alive before. Like, there will be something in your heart said, I was made for this. Regardless of your age, you were made for fatherhood. You were made for that. So, Lord, and actually during worship, what I actually saw, I saw the Father's hand, and I saw him reach down, and it was almost like he imparted his heart into your heart by just laying his hand on yours. So, Lord, I just thank you for each man that is standing right up here before us, Lord. I think you've called them each by name. You know each one. Lord, I thank you for the giftings, the talents, the anointings. Lord, I thank you for the mantle of fatherhood. Lord, that you're calling each one out. You're calling them out. It's time to step up, step up, step up, and step out. Step up and step out, step up and step out. Lord, I just thank you for the influence and the impact that each one of these men are, you're calling them to, Lord God. Lord, that it says an enlarging of the tent peg. Enlarging the tent peg. Lord, the authority and the power that they carry, it's just to the next level. Just as Jeff saw this morning, there's a shift. The momentum, it's a shift. It's for acceleration in Jesus' name. Lord, and I just thank you over each one of these men, how long their arms are. And I could just see these arms. The ones that thought they're so far away that no one could ever reach them. Lord, I thank you for these men who can see and their arms go far. They're far and they will tenderly grab those into the family. Lord, and I thank you over each one, Lord, for their passions and for their desires, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are marking them with kingdom passions and kingdom desires now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this mantle of fatherhood. Lord, that they are going to demonstrate to the world what it is to be a kingdom father. Lord, that they're going to model the heart of the perfect father. Lord God, for the healing and the deliverances, for the reconciliation, for the mantles that these men carry to bring reconciliation and repentance to a generation so that they can be restored back to rightness with their Heavenly Father in Jesus' name.
Now for these men, and Lord, we thank you for what they represent, Father, in the body of Christ. I pray that, Lord, they'd have eyes to see those that are fatherless. Not just young kids, but women, widows that need fathers in their lives. Father, there are women in this house that need others to step up and begin to testify to them, to begin to disciple like they've never been discipled. Father, I pray that these men represent a movement within the body of Christ of men who are going to look beyond their own lives. They're going to look beyond their own responsibilities. They're going to look beyond their own gifts and their own talents and look for others. Father, I pray for that gravitational pull that Josh was talking about. That, Father, there would be the law of attraction that would begin to bring men and women, young and old, into the circles, into the pathways that these men represent. Father, I pray that, Lord, even right now, they would all be quickened in their spirit to recognize, I never saw that individual as fatherless. That's why they like to hang out with me. I never realized the influence that I had, but I'm going to carry it now with greater responsibility. Father, I pray that, Lord, our numbers that we gave today about the statistics of the fatherless generation would be something that sears our hearts to go after changing that. That, Lord, you would deal with the issues in our heart, not just the men standing here, but, Lord, all of us, to not be okay with the statistic that we are now the most fatherless generation in the history of our nation. Oh, Father, forgive us. Father, I pray that we would begin to recognize the roles and responsibilities that we have as men, as fathers. And I pray that it would all flow out of the love and the goodness that we get to encounter with you being our Father, with you putting on display the role of fatherhood, the discipline in fatherhood, the joy in fatherhood, the nature of participating with you, Lord, would cause us to become better fathers to our own children, but Lord, to all those around us. Give us the wisdom and discernment necessary to speak and impart the love of your fatherhood, the love of you, Father, into the fatherless generation. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Gentlemen, thank you for being dads. Thank you. And thank you for those who are going to be dads. Your hearts are for the Lord. And so my prayer for you is this. Father, I pray that there would be no regrets. There's no shame, but Father, that Father, for those who say, but my dad was, that Lord, you are the one who teaches us to be fathers. And so we don't look at what we're lacking. We look to the one who has no lack. And we open our hearts to continue to teach us. Lord, as Paul said, you got a lot of teachers, but you don't have many fathers. So Lord, I pray that we would be men who would continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And that, Father, we thank you that you're equipping us in a generation that needs fathers. Well, then we are here for such a time as this. That, Father, you are not going to let these numbers continue. Every number represents a life. But where you have planted us and where you have placed us, we thank you, Father, that you're teaching us how to be fathers. And so, Lord, we kick our eyes off what we're not capable of. And we put our eyes on the one who says, I will make you capable in how to do this. And Father, just like breathing in, breathing out, it's not something we try hard to be a father, but we learn from your heart and we just give what you give us of being fathers. Lord, I thank you that all of us are imperfect at it. But I love that verse that was shared. You work all things together for the good. That, Lord, even in our imperfection, you somehow, as a good, good father, turn that for the good. So, Lord, we receive from your hand today everything we need to be what you called us to be. And we rest in the fact, and we rejoice in the fact, that your heart is for us men. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, all the voices that are sharing what a man should be, and what a man looks like, and what a man's not supposed to be, all those voices would be still and silent, and we would hear the clarion call, the one true, awesome Father. Let his voice trumpet all other voices that try to identify us and what a father is and what a man is. We allow you, Father, to determine that, and we trust in that. I bless my fellow brothers. I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that we are together learning to be what you've called us to be. And we step into that with great joy. In Jesus' name.
I want to share just a quick testimony with you guys, just real quick. So in my family, my grandpa, his dad was a pretty harsh guy, okay? And so my dad grew up with just a very distant dad who didn't know how to be a great dad. So he grew up with a pretty violent guy. And so my dad just didn't have that. And as we were praying for you, I just felt like the picture I got where some of you are like, I really need to be healed before I do any of this. I'm carrying some stuff that I'm not really sure how to get rid of. Some of you have had great dads as role models. So I'm not putting that on each of you, but I want to share this testimony with you is that, so my dad, not really knowing what it's like to be fathered well, was an awesome dad, and he had no idea what he was doing. He just fathered with the Lord. And if he didn't have Jesus, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So I'm here to tell you today that even where there's like, I don't know if I can do this, or I don't even know what these guys are asking me to do. What am I just supposed to like start plucking guys off the streets? Or what, I mean, what does this even mean? What we're saying is being ready and available. What we're also saying is the Lord is going to equip you to do it, even if you feel like there are some huge gaps in your life. So let's just pray for healing. And let's agree and partner with the word, okay? So, Father, we thank you. First and foremost, we lay our life down as an offering to you. This is an offering. We know that you're asking this of us. For some of us, this is an impossible task. For some of us, this is an adventure. For some of us, this is exciting. Whatever that looks like, Father, I thank you that there's a promise that there will be healing as we go. For some of you, you need actual healing as you go. And the Lord is going to heal you as you are walking in obedience. He's going to show you what to do next. He's going to show you how to make a way. He's going to show you how to make room for these other men. So for that might just look like sitting down for coffee. That may just look like teaching somebody how to change their oil. That may just be you identifying somebody on your street, that a boy or another neighbor or something like that, and just starting a conversation with him and just beginning to trust the Lord that he would actually make connections with you, that he wants to stir you to get outside of your comfort zone. So Father, thanks right now, Holy Spirit, that you would give us just the vision and the ability to see what you're doing, but that there's also healing along the way. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Ladies, can you go ahead and come up real quick, and then we'll finish this off as well. I just felt like this was really important. So ladies, as you come up. So if we are on the precipice of revival, which I believe that we are, it's going to take fathers and mothers. Those who are willing to act like family when it's easy to not be family. Can I tell you, it's easy to drop your kid in front of a screen and just let him do their thing? It is, man. It's super easy. Is it easy to just drop your kid off at school and just let them be taught? I so love teachers. I think the teachers that who are willing to actually do that, and I really, there's a special place in my heart for those that carry a similar values and things that I want for my children. But I'm telling you right now, there's something about family that God is doing that if we'll give him our yes, he'll actually begin to draw people to us so that we can maybe invite them to dinner. Maybe begin to spend time with them. Maybe mow their lawn. That's what, pylons are good for mowing lawns. So if you need a lawn mowed, we're good at that. Yeah, so maybe it looks like cookies or, you know, my mom's love packages. You know, she just makes stuff for us, a pie or whatever, and give it to us. But whatever that looks like, just begin to give the Lord your yes. Let's pray. We say, Father, because you actually told us to call you Father. We could have referred to you as righteous judge. We could have referred to you as the holiest of holies, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you said, just call me Father. I am all those things, but call me Father. And so, Lord, we thank you. If you are a Father, we are truly your sons and daughters. And that is family. Before we're pastor, before we're apostle, a prophet, shepherd, and teacher, we are sons and daughters. And I think the names of those roles, as beautiful and awesome as they are to the body of Christ, is we've been called family most. So Father, we lay down, actually, even in this moment, if we've ever made a title or a position or something more important than being a son or a daughter, we just lay that at your feet. Because when we transition over into eternity, it won't be as an apostle. It'll be as a son or a daughter. It'll be family. And so we thank you for the holiest and most sacred connection and bond that we have, is that you are our Father and we are your children. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would lead us on an adventure in the years to come of being able to walk into our community and begin to have supernatural encounters where you touch people and you call people into family. And we thank you, Jesus, that you would use our very lives to accomplish that. And we say yes. Holy Spirit, we say yes. We say yes. We don't even know what it looks like, but we say yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we would be able to do family together here in our city and to the ends of the earth. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Jacqueline, can you grab those boxes? Thanks for being here this morning. I know we kept you a little longer, and I'm sure some of you have plans for the Father's Day gathering, but thank you. The Lord was just doing a lot. But here's the thing. Before you go, these two boys are going to stand right here. Maybe we got another kid. You can take the lids off. God is good, and we need a reminder of that sometime. So there is a gift for everybody to walk out of here with God's goodness on this Father's Day. If you're into the Twix, take a Twix, the M&Ms. If you want to take it and give it away, do that. But nobody gets left out. So come on forward, grab some candy, have an incredible Sunday. We'll see you next Sunday.